Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, and welcome to Take Your Bow, a new bite-sized podcast from the Curtain Call stable that shines a spotlight on all the people that make theater happen. In today's climate of increasing isolation, we want to bring you a daily dose of inspiration. Each episode, we're giving someone in the theater a chance to take a bow, from the seasoned professional to the drama student, from the vocal coach to the life coach. You'll find them right here giving insights into what drives them to be in the business and who inspires them. On today's episode is London actress Rebecca Humphreys. Rebecca has been on our screens in The Crown and The Agency, to name but two, and she's always popping up on a London stage somewhere. But that's enough for me. Let's hear from Rebecca. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, let's just, full disclosure, we have met before. We've known each other for a while. We kind of run in circles, but, you know, we don't hang out. Is it where we kind of hang out when we see each other? We kind of sit there and catch up over a coffee. We do something. It's crazy. So
always nice to see you.
I know. And thank you for reaching out. I've got some questions. Rebecca, tell me who you are and what you do.
I'm Rebecca Humphreys, and I'm an actress and, I guess, occasional writer.
Excellent. And I would like to take you right way back here. When did you know that you wanted to work in this business? What was it that did it to you?
The theatrical business or the acting business?
Oh, that's a very good question.
I guess that for me, it was, I always liked pretending. I always liked stories from ever since I was a kid. You know, I'd snatch books out of my parents' hands and read it to them. Mm. So I always knew that I wanted to be a performer. I think for a really long time, it was something that I wanted to do. You know, I love showbiz, yeah. And I always have. And, you know, Sequins and Glitter and MGM musicals, and that was what I really wanted to do. I wanted to be Calamity Jane. And then I guess I got to it was in school, it was in my probably my GCSE year that I understood the value really of working in a team and collaborating, and kind of got to understand where doing like local youth groups, where my place might be in a rehearsal room. And from that point onwards, it became more about the rehearsal than the performance. And now in my career, it always is about the rehearsal and about the team and the unit. And so I sort of naturally segued into wanting to work in theatre for that reason.
Excellent. And then so the second part of that question, which you brought up, thank you, was the acting bit. What was it about the acting that made you want to be an actor?
Oh, I mean, I could go really deep in this, and so I will. I think it had to do, why not? I've got nothing else to do. I've got time on my hands. I think it was about being heard, actually. I think that there was something, I mean, I know I'm not alone in this. There was a really read in my life that actually probably started from when I was a teenager, where when I was on stage, lots of actors talk about that experience of feeling really at home on a stage and feeling really connected with yourself. And I think that it was because I felt most heard and most visible in that space, and most, yeah, and as such most at home with myself and my voice. And and that was just, so I guess the answer is, when I discovered it was a form of expression that I wasn't really able to connect with in my everyday life. I have since, I should say, managed to sort of smooth over the layers and bridge the gap between them. So slightly, I found that, you know, when I was in my early 20s and I wasn't getting much acting work after drama school, it became really clear that having my voice when I was on stage was not something that I was going to be able to rely on in my life. And so it meant that I was going into auditions wanting the job so much because it felt like I was whole, you know. So that has become a process of kind of it being something I do as my job. And I'm very lucky to do what I love rather than it is who I am, you know.
That's a fantastic, what a fantastic way of looking at it. Was there anyone who inspired you back then? And the second part of that question is, you know, who inspires you now?
I think when I was quite young, you know, I remember going to my RADA audition and then being like, oh, who inspires you? When you go, oh, you know, Judi Dench. And she does inspire me, of course, because she's absolutely wonderful. But I think that when you're a young actor, it's very easy to be inspired by people who you think are good at acting. And then when you're in the industry for a while, you realize, wow, so much of being visible in that way has to do with luck and your position in life and in society, like enabling you to be able to be seen in that way. And so now my inspiration has come from people who create, and the people who create their opportunities, like not just as actors as well, you know. And I'm really lucky because so many of them are my peers, but people like Polly Bennett, who has carved out essentially an entire wing of the industry as a movement director and is making those people more visible so that she can work in a way that she wants to. Like, I really look up to and inspired by Lynette Linton, who's 30 and has such confidence in her voice and her ability that she's running a building. Kirstie Housley, who is so often neglected in terms of what she contributes to a process. She's a director and creator, and she does it because she loves theatre and is so talented. And she's working with Riz Ahmed at the moment, who is someone else who's like, wow, a film star who steals his own work.
Yeah.
Like, that's inspiring.
Sounds to me, and I'm not meaning to, I don't want to lead you in your comments, but it sounds like people who are making their own way and like you say, carving out niche, but creating work. This is, you know, creatives inspire me.
100%. Yeah. Creatives. And and as well, people who are contributing to the creative conversation as well. The one person who I would say who has really stuck with me as someone who was visible and whose work I always admired to now is Emma Thompson, because, you know, I loved her when I was a kid because of the work that she was in and how brilliant she was and is. But also now, the more I find out about her, she's like this flower that the older you get and the more you find out about what she has to say and the way that she works, she's actually like unfurls, you know. She is an incredible sage woman. You know,
so you just talked about being multi-skilled because you're acting and now writing. How important do you think that is in today's society where people are multi-hyphenates, and then how do you juggle that with what you do?
There are so many actors. Okay, there are so very, very many actors in the industry. I mean, I'm sure that won't come as a shock to anyone. I guess that there are also so many talented actors that don't get work. And I just got to a stage in my career where I was seeing not only, you know, well, you've got to have faith in your own ability, right? Not only myself, but also friends who, it just seemed like a bitter injustice that they were not getting the work that they deserved. And also had such things to say and ways in which to contribute. And for me, it was just like a pragmatism. I was like, well, in which case, I guess we're going to do it ourselves. And that's kind of what led from A to B. It really was that simple. It wasn't like I ever wanted to be like, you know, wanted a soapbox and to go, I have things to say or things that I want to talk about. It was just like, well, I've got a team and I kind of got people that I know, so I just had to bridge that gap, and then so I started doing that, and I just sort of haven't stopped. I think it's important because, as well, you know, we have so little control over whether we get an audition in the first place, let alone whether we get a job. So any opportunity to seize control artistically, I just think it's one of the most empowering things you can do as an artist, really.
What do your family and friends think of your job?
Oh, I mean, I, yeah, short answer you'd have to ask them, but long answer is that my family have always been really supportive of me. I mean, I grew up in a working class family in Norwich, none of whom are in the industry at all. And I guess, I mean, there's obviously the odd misconception in terms of like, Rebecca's been on telly, ergo she must be a millionaire.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a bit of that, or like, you're on telly, you're doing all right. There's obviously stuff like, you know, if you're at a wedding back in Norwich and you're sitting down for a second, everyone's like, come on, come up and dance. You love all this.
Yeah. You can do a Welsh accent.
Yeah. Right. And just that kind of misconception that introverts, like because we're extroverted in one sense, but that's sort of our place within all of this. So there's that kind of thing to juggle, but they've always been incredibly supportive. And actually it's really nice to have a whole wing of my life that isn't to do with theatre. It's grounding. And there's also another part of that, which is that like, you can't really, sometimes you can't get loud in a conversation without this sort of sense of like,
it's always about you, isn't it?
You know, yeah, exactly. A bit of that. And it's like, so there's that kind of like, there's a slight line to tread between kind of like, am I a lot, like, I don't know. It's always a bit of a juggle, but yeah, I mean, yeah. As I say, it's very refreshing, because otherwise here we are, you know, just, you know, all singing, all dancing all the time.
Yeah. Speaking of singing and dancing all the time, how are you going to fill your days? Let's, you know, we're sitting here because we have time. How are you going to fill your time?
I'm currently writing a show, actually, which doesn't look like it's going to go ahead this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a familiar situation for a lot of creatives.
Yep.
But I'm choosing to reframe that as the opportunity to have it realized at some point in a much fuller way. It's going to be able to go into development now, which I think is no bad thing, even though I'm somebody who tends to work, because I work towards quite short deadlines usually in terms of Edinburgh, which is something I dearly hope goes ahead this year, because there's nothing like it in terms of being able to comment immediately on social issues and stuff that we're interested in talking about, and like representing the conversations that are being had now in the moment on stage. You know, normally theatres get programmed 18 months in advance.
Yeah.
So it's just such an important time for theatre. But I suppose because I've never really worked in that way before in the long term, I'm looking forward to finding that out. And it means I can read a few more books about playwriting, probably make it much juicier and fleshier than I would have done otherwise. And also, like, you know, I'm going to be Skyping my friends in a different way, having breakfast and doing some yoga. We've set up a home cinema here. We watched Judy last night. It was fabulous. I've got my yoga mat out and some candles around it. You know, I'm going to do okay. I think I might do an online course in something or other. That might be quite a nice thing. Essentially, all the things that otherwise I would not have time for.
Love it. What cast album would you self-isolate with? What would be one that you just had to have?
A cast album. Okay, well, what springs to mind? Two springs to mind. One is the, I think it's 96 or 98, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Balsamo.
And Zubinvala.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, talking a language, am I?
Are you talking about that's an insane recording. It is an insane recording.
It's unbelievable. It's actually, I'm very good friends with a director named Ned Bennett, and he and I it was both quite seminal in our creative lives, actually. Go. My cat's just in the background.
I love it. Cats are always good.
He's a good guy. And then the other is probably Little Shop of Horrors. Okay, movie
amazing.
Soundtrack.
Again, so good. Yes, and you know what? Those are both, they're both uplifting in their own way.
Yeah. I mean, the second one arguably more so.
Okay, all right. So listen.
Whatever you're into.
Look, Rebecca, thank you so much. It's been fantastic. Now, I'm just going to end with a few quick fire questions, which is kind of this or that, you know, and I'm going to put you on the spot. And you have a cat on your lap, which is always good.
Uh-oh. So yeah, it's relaxing me. Otherwise, I'd be quite stressed about it.
No, it's very simple. So you ready? Should we do this?
I'm so ready. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, ready. Movies or theaters?
Theaters.
Dickens or Shakespeare?
Shakespeare.
Stephen Sondheim or Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
Broadway or West End?
West End.
Clotted cream or jam first?
God, I'm vegan.
Neither. Okay, dogs or cats? What a silly one.
Hello.
No. Wicked or Les Mis?
Mis.
Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime, Succession.
Perfect. Listen, Rebecca, that was so good.
Yeah.
So good. Lots of love.
Bye, baby.
We'll speak
nice
soon.
Nice to speak to you.
All right, soon. Bye-bye. Rebecca Humphreys, actress and writer. Now, we all need a little bit of inspiration and happiness these days, and hopefully today's chat gave you just that. Thank you to everyone who responded to our call out so far to be on this podcast. And if you'd like to take your bow, get in touch with us on any of our social media platforms at Curtain Call or email me at john@curtaincallonline.com. We look forward to seeing you here on the next episode of Take Your Bow.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.